So for today's episode, we got the Sandy Cats Kinetic X rope hooked up to the boat. How do you feel about this, sir?
I'm pretty excited.
All right, well, let's fucking get it going.
So in case you haven't figured it out, this video is going to be about winching. Winching trucks safely, because there are way too many times people have gone winching and it hasn't worked out well for them whatsoever at all. A lot of people have gotten hurt, maimed, and killed simply winching. On their day off, out enjoying the wilderness, out in a mud pit, etc. And then something like this happens. So a couple of years back, Yokohama sent me a set of 37-inch mud grapplers, or their mud terrain tire, and I was testing them out in the Ozarks, a place I was very familiar with and a place that is very unforgiving. I did this completely alone in the wintertime, and it was a rainy season, and I sunk the truck to the rails. But I got out my tree saver, I got out my tow strap, and I pulled the line on my 16,500-pound red winch, which was sporting Amsteel blue line. And with an awful lot of time, energy, and effort, I managed to slowly wiggle myself out of a really bad spot. But being a YouTuber and being an off-roader, I had an advantage. I've hung out with Rory Irish from Trail Mater out in Moab, Utah, and been on dozens of recoveries with him, and he taught me a lot of things. And he wasn't the only one. I've gone to the Overland Expos and hooked up with Tim and Elsie from Dirt Sunrise, and these guys are extrication experts, and they taught me a lot of things as well. So when I'm rolling solo out in the Ozarks, miles from anybody else, I make sure that I carry my Maxtrax, a shovel, and all the recovery gear, kinetic ropes, tow straps, and a 16,000-pound winch. And after a lot of time, energy, and effort, I managed to extricate myself very, very slowly. This took me about a total of 3.5-4 hours, I believe. And fortunately, I had a winch line extender because the tree line was a good 150 feet away. And that is really, no pun intended, stretching it. So that recovery went well, but again, I've been trained by experts and I have extricated myself solo numerous times. But for every successful winch line extrication that happens, you've got these things happening. And this is no joke, because not only are people getting hurt, but it hurts the sport. Every time somebody gets killed or maimed, somebody wants to pass a law. So this information is vital. If you're going off-road, especially solo, you need to know this info. So when I decided to make this video, I needed to find somebody that I could consider an expert, someone that people couldn't argue with. There's a lot of people out there, a lot of people that I know, I'm showing them in the video right now, that make videos explaining the dangers of winching, the right, the wrong way to do it. But the problem is we need some sort of a standardized winching technique protocol, because every time you see somebody winching it wrong, the winch comes directly through the driver's window, right over the steering wheel, and takes out the driver. And it has killed too many people, and it's injured way too many people. So I'm not an expert. I know enough about winching and traveling solo to get by pretty much in any situation. And there you go. So I had to find somebody that not only was a an off-roader, but somebody with other experience, and I found that with Oleg Flaxman. He's the owner of Sandy Cats and Kinetic Ropes. I'll leave links below. But not only that, the guy's a mountain climber. He's been mountain climbing since he was a kid, depending on rope. And he learned all about rope because your life depends on it, especially up here because no one can hear you scream. So Oleg has four-wheel drive winching in his pedigree. He's also got mountain climbing in his pedigree, and that's pretty damn good, is it not? But he goes even one step further, because Oleg is a search and rescue guy in California, and literally last night he went out and got injured from the Black Hawk helicopter that picked him up. He's good to go, but I mean, he's out there risking his life trying to save others. And once again, when you're out there risking your life on search and rescue, you have to depend on rope. So this is the trifecta right here. So without further ado, let's hear from Oleg himself, shall we? Here we go.
Hey guys, I'm Oleg. This is Sandy Cats. We do have a company with Kinetic X where we sell recovery gear. After a lot of thought, I decided to do this video just because people are getting hurt. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and there's no standardization in off-road recoveries. So I just kind of want to give my thoughts on it. My background is I've been wheeling since 2008, but I've been climbing since way before then. I've been alpine climbing, mountaineering. I do search and rescue. I know rope systems really, really well. So I think I have an approach that may be different than some from a systems perspective in this world. So I just want to kind of get the thoughts out on safety and how to do recoveries from my perspective. The first thing I'll say is there's really three types, right? It's winching, toe straps and or snatch straps, and kinetic recoveries. And I kind of want to go through all that because there's some misconceptions. At Kinetic X, we primarily focus on small and big kinetic ropes. And I'll tell you right now, this is the most dangerous part of any recovery is a kinetic rope. And oftentimes should be either used wisely or as a last resort. Right now, we're not selling toe straps, but this is probably one of the safest. So I'm going to be try to be as unbiased as I can about this subject. The safest thing in a recovery, the safest recovery that you can do is a winch, using a winch, as long as you use it appropriately. Most winches are rated for 10, 12,000 pounds. If you are using solely a synthetic line, no cables, and there's no metal in the system at all, zero, I believe that a winch is going to be the safest. Worst case scenario, if that synthetic line snaps, the winch, if there's no metal in the system, is just going to drop. There's no kickback, nothing flying through your windshield, as long as your attachment points are sufficient. Because that winch is rated for 10 to 12,000 pounds, chances are it's not breaking the steel off your bumper or shearing your grade 8 or grade 10 bolts. So that's my first recommendation. So this is my winch on my Jeep. It's not connected to the battery right now, so I can't put it in. But you will see that I have no metal here. And that's what I mean by no metal. No metal receivers, shackles, whatever. I connect this directly to a soft shackle. So therefore, if there's a failure, no metal's flying, this just flops. On this vehicle, the way I have it set up, this is easy to get to. You get these winches with a hook, take the hook off. There's usually some kind of metal thimble here. I do recommend taking the metal thimble off because a lot of times they're pretty cheap. And if you're just pulling on that metal thimble with a soft shackle, it can start to bend and it'll slice your winch cable. So you wanna have nothing here. If you want to put a sleeve protector, simple. We're going to put a video up late eventually, but there's a lot of videos out there, how to splice your cable. I strongly recommend you learn how to do that because you could have the best winch line in the world. You could have the cheapest Amazon line in the world. It doesn't matter. These things break all the time. They are super strong when you pull. The second, especially under tension, you just touch it with a rock. These things start slicing. So you need to know how to make your own hoop in the field. I recommend you learn how to do that and practice on your winch cable. It's not hard. Yankum sells this awesome fairlead that I have on the Jeep and I love it. And the whole point of it is you put your hoop right here, and once your winch line is cinched in, everything is protected. So your line is completely protected from rock abrasion. So that's why this is a great fairlead. For most people, this should work. Some bumpers don't accept these fairleads. So I want to walk you over to my other forerunner. So this is my forerunner. As you can see, I don't have the Yankum fairlift here. The reason I don't have it here is because it doesn't fit in my bumper. That's the only reason. But on my wife's forerunner, on our GX, we don't have the Yankum fairlift either, just because it's not a cheap fairlift, and we don't rock crawl. So in those circumstances, I either will just have the winch line connected to my shackle or clevis anywhere, or I'll have it on my personal one, I put it back here, connected to my clutch. Very simple. You don't need expensive fairlifts. You just need to get rid of all the metal in your system. That's all I'm asking you to do. The second you get rid of all this metal and you start working on with soft shackles only, that's where the safety really comes in. So that's really what I recommend. Put it in and I'm good to go. Like I said, I'm a wise foreigner. It hangs like this. Why? She doesn't rock crawl, so she's not gonna be hitting rocks with the line. It's fine, it's safe enough. Okay, so this is a toe strap. Some of these look like toe straps, some of these are called snatch straps. They have very little elasticity in it. And here's the thing, these are actually meant for towing, not recoveries. That's the reality. And the reason why is because they're very good with abrasion when you're hitting on the ground. They don't have any elasticity like you see with kinetic ropes. These work really, really well in when you want very, very slow, controlled recoveries. I'll connect it. I don't remember last time I used this on a foreigner. I do use this on the Jeep a lot. The reason why is because I'm on big boulders and my Jeep is, you know, high centered on a big boulder somewhere. And I want somebody to just give me a couple of 100 pounds of pressure to ease me off that boulder so I don't start breaking more parts. That's where this comes into play. If you're stuck heavily in the mud, in the sand, and the snow, you're gonna have to, for this to work, pretend this is toe strap. And this is the stuck vehicle, this is the unstuck vehicle. If I take the toe strap and I go like that, which is what you see people do with the kinetic rope, what ends up happening is that you're gonna cause so much, there's no give in this rope. It's like a static rope. So you're gonna start causing damage everywhere. A, your back's gonna hurt a lot. You're gonna start damaging your bumper. Your bumper can start shearing off your frame. So with a toe strap, your recovery, you have to pre-tension it and then do very slow pulls. So it's kind of doing the same thing as a winch would do in reality. And there's a lot of applications for it, especially if you don't have a winch in your rock crawling or you need to like do some position that you can't do with your winch, that's where this really applies. Or if you're gonna tow somebody, right, for a couple of miles. But that's really what that application is for. This is a kinetic recovery rope. This is ours. This is some of our competition on Amazon. We can discuss that in a second. But what's more important is, out of everything we discussed, and any type of recovery you're gonna do, this is gonna be the most dangerous part of any recovery. Why? Because this is the only thing that stores kinetic energy. So the reason why synthetic gear is amazing, soft gear, is because with synthetic gear, if there's no kinetic energy stored, in general, it usually drops. It's not flying anywhere. With a kinetic rope, energy is stored. And some of you guys may have even seen a video on YouTube recently, lately, where you know a vehicle was pulling really hard with a kinetic rope, and that kinetic rope flew through a windshield, and thankfully didn't kill anybody, but could have easily killed somebody. There's other ways this will cause a lot of damage, to the point where this can cause enough damage, and it almost happened in that video, to take the bumper off your frame, to shear your bolts. There's a lot of power going on here. So this needs to be treated with respect and used in only certain situations. There's a lot of applications where kinetic rope comes into play. When you need, A, when you don't have a winch, a lot of times it's necessary. B, if you're using it properly, the absorption that it takes, within the rope itself, and I'll describe that in a second, is very, very, makes it, it's conserves, it actually doesn't hurt your vehicles as much as any other application. And it will give you stronger pulling power, but you need to be smart about it. So let's kind of discuss what this really is and what the use of it is. The best way I kind of tell people as far as what a kinetic rope is versus anything else and why it's important is I'm a climber, right? If you watch videos of guys climbing, I've climbed walls, and on climbing rope, have about less elasticity than this, about 10-12%, sometimes more, 20% elasticity on a climbing rope. On a climbing rope, if you take a fall, I've taken 30-foot falls, and the rope caught me, nothing broken, I could keep climbing, it just hurts a little bit. If I would take a static rope, which is what this is basically, and I only took a 5-8 foot fall on a climbing rope, I can potentially shatter my pelvis, because the absorption of the rope takes the impact in essence. Therefore, you guys will see me do a lot of stupid testing on Instagram and YouTube with like a Cadillac or other cars where I tie this rope to a tree and I pull really hard. Don't pull that hard. That was just me testing and proving the application. If I would have done that with a toe strap, then A, my airbags may have went off. I definitely would have broken a lot of parts. I'd have metal flying everywhere. My back would have felt it for weeks. I did it with a kinetic rope. I barely felt it in my back, and I was going way above the recommended speed that I would ever tell you to go above. Therefore, that's the first thing. The second thing that you need to know, and is extremely important to know, and most people don't understand this, is you have to size your kinetic rope properly. If you think about it, the way it's like a rubber band, right? So if you take a rubber band and you try to pull on it, and it's a thin rubber band, you're gonna break it. If it's, a rubber band rated to your muscle strength, and you pull on it, you'll just get full elasticity, let go, or fly. But if you get a 4-inch thick rubber band and try to pull on it, you won't even move it. So therefore, if you take a rope that, if you have a 4Runner that's from the factory plus your weight is like 7,000 pounds, and you take a 1.5-inch or 1.25-inch rope, maybe even a 1-inch rope, but that rope is rated for a vehicle much higher than yours, you basically have a ridiculously overpriced tow strap. And the second you try to use it as a kinetic rope versus a tow strap, you're gonna break components on your car, you can start breaking parts, and things can start flying one way or another. And the same thing if you use an underrated rope. If you use an underrated rope, just that thin rubber band, you will just break through it. So you need to make sure the kinetic rope is based on your vehicle weight. Most manufacturers should tell you that very clearly. If they don't, run away. Now that we got through all that, when you start using a kinetic rope, the first thing that I personally do is you inspect everything. You make sure that you have places to go, meaning that if you're in deep snow, in deep mud, in deep sand, that there's no log over there that's gonna give you a hard hit and cause issues. You shovel as much as you can. Throw max trucks in there, throw boards in there. Give yourself as much chance to get out of that situation to utilize the rope to as minimal strength as necessary for the pulling. That's really the goal here. Don't just say, okay, I'm stuck in 4 feet of snow, go 20 miles an hour and get me out of here. That's how mistakes happen, people rush, people, injuries occur. So that's the first thing I want to say about kinetic rope. When I start a kinetic rope recovery, and I do them a lot, I'm going to demonstrate with this little strand here, I do the same thing as I do with a tow strap. If my rope is properly rated for my vehicle, and I pre-tension the rope and then start pulling, I'm already probably adding between 8-12%, maybe even a little more, of elasticity into the system just with my vehicle weight pulling the other vehicle. So if this vehicle stuck and I pre-tension it like this, and then I start pulling, the kinetic energy will already help me. You don't need to go 50 miles an hour to get that energy. That's very important. If that doesn't work, I'll back up. You don't have to back up a lot. I back up a couple of feet. Usually back up, if your rope is 30 feet, you should back up about 25% of that. I'll back up and I'll go 1 mile an hour. I'll back up again, I'll go 2 miles an hour. Maybe I'll go to 3 miles an hour. Then, if that doesn't work, because at that point, the force of my vehicle is the only one contributing force into the system. The vehicle that's stuck is contributing zero force into the system. Therefore, I'm using a rope that is rated for my vehicle only, not for the vehicle that's stuck. At that point, I know I'm contributing so much force into the system that something's not working. I'm gonna get out, reassess the situation, see if I could help that vehicle move by throwing boards in, max trucks, shoveling a little bit. Then I'll do the same thing again. Only at some point in time, because I do have the experience and knowledge, will I consider going faster. And if I do consider going faster, I will make sure that all my connection points are good. I will make sure that the bumper is properly connected to the frame. I'll make sure that everything in the system can handle the loads that I'm about to put on the system, which can be 30, 40,000 pounds for all we know, right? I could just guess what the loads are, and so can you. We can't know for sure. once I know that everything is connected, there's no like, you know, big rock that I'm going to hit in a second when I'm throwing 40,000 pounds of load on and just make a big stop. Only then I may consider going faster. What is going faster? I'm not going to tell you what going faster is, because you need to know what your vehicle weight is, what the rope is, what the rope is calls for that weight, and everything else for you to make that decision. We don't recommend going over 5 miles an hour. At 5 miles an hour, you're the other misconception with kinetic ropes. Everybody advertises 30% elasticity on ropes. That's not true. Kind of not true. We advertise it too. And then we put an MBS. That's minimum breaking strength, maximum breaking strength. We can go into that conversation if you want. But more importantly, it's the elasticity. That means 30% elasticity, or approximately, usually anywhere from 29 to 33% elasticity at MBS, at 30,000 pounds for a 7/8 rope. Ours, we rate ours to 28,300, but at that rate, the truth is you're going to probably 10 to 14, hopefully not more than 16, 17,000 pounds of force on that rope. So you're never going to reach 30%. You're probably going to reach somewhere between 15 to 20, 22% elasticity max, just so we're clear. But that's a lot of energy in the system anyways. So if you know what forces you have, you know approximately the elasticity you're putting in that rope, you know the terrain you're on, so you know how much traction you're getting, then you can make a decision of how fast to go. We don't recommend going above 5 miles an hour. We believe that if you use a properly rated, weighted vehicle with our ropes, you will get probably around 20%, plus or minus two, depending on the weight of your vehicle. But I can't tell you what to do. This book, for example, by Bob Wohlers, a lot of people consider this like the ultimate recovery book. It will tell you to go, you can go up to 20 miles an hour for stage three recoveries or something. Other people will tell you don't go 3 miles an hour. The problem that I have with everything we're doing here as an industry is the lack of standardization, to be honest with you. And I'm kind of guilty of that myself. We all have to play the game. I strongly don't recommend going about 5 miles an hour unless you're super confident and you know what you're doing. That's that. Next is, let's talk a little bit about other options to be safe with a kinetic rope. The first thing is soft shackles. That video talked a lot about soft shackles that are untested. We make our products in China proudly because my goal was to create a kinetic rope that's affordable. And I will tell you right now, we are not the best kinetic rope for every application. I think we're pretty damn good. We focus a lot on safety. That's really where the focus was. I did a video myself on YouTube a while ago, years ago, and I tested a bunch of ropes. And I saw ropes, specifically ropes, I'll just even say like Ditch Pig, things that are sold in Home Depot and Lowe's. And those ropes had basically no elasticity. And somebody's gonna go watch a YouTube video on pull hard, go buy that rope from Home Depot for 60 bucks, pull hard, and start breaking parts. I broke both the metal mounts on the Jeep with those cheap ropes during those testings. And then there's ropes that are great, but you don't know unless you're buying a well-named American brand, and those are very expensive. And my thing was, great, those are great brands, there's great brands out there. But if you're going to go buy a $150, $100 Amazon rope, I want you to come to me and we will get you a rope that we tested, we certified, we know it has elasticity, and we know it has all the safety factors so you can be safe. That's what my goal was initially with this company. I think we've achieved that goal now. We're moving on. We'll discuss that in a second. So a lot of ropes you get, they will look like this. I cut them up, show you the inside. They're very easy to package because they're such a nice, bendable, flexi system. But you get what you pay for, right? That's what makes it worse. Our ropes are stiffer. Our ropes are stiffer because we protect them better. In addition to that, I think we're one of the only, there's probably other guys out there, but not a lot, we use green nylon. We don't use white nylon and then dip it in green paint. We use green nylon simply for one reason, because we put in reflective material in here, and we thread it through the entire rope multiple times, and this reflective material works from like half a mile away. I felt I'd rather pay more for production and get that for one reason only. Most recoveries that I'm doing, at least, it's on the side of a mountain road where somebody's stuck in a ditch, and it's at night, not a lot of traffic, and usually I'm looking for the best traction, so I'm pulling guys in a ditch over here, and I'm pulling this way using the opposite lane, and I'm blocking the entire paved road to pull them out of that ditch at night. And nobody's stopping traffic behind me, nobody's stopping traffic in front of me. I'm talking practicality here, not like, you know, safety. And that's why we put this reflective material in there, because when you're out of Montana, Idaho, whatever, and you're in that type of situation, you want to be able to make sure the car that's flying down the mountain pass sees the rope in the middle. That was my whole goal with this. One of my goals. We also double dip our eyes. We coat them so they can withstand more abuse. And our sheath here is tighter than most.
You say that's what she said one more time. I'm going to
most. There's ups and downs for that. We chose to go this route for two reasons. Because in reality, a lot of times when you're doing a kinetic recovery, you may be recovering a dead vehicle or a vehicle that's somehow damaged, and you're going to end up using your kinetic rope as a tow strap. So we wanted something that will handle the abrasions from you pulling for 5, 10, 15, 20 miles an hour off-road slowly without putting stretch in the system and dragging this on the road and it being able to withstand that. And the second reason is because the easiest way to damage these ropes is a way you will not see. The problem with buying a kinetic rope versus anything else is you can't see the actual material inside. This white stuff is the material that's inside the rope, and this is where really the stretch comes, the strength comes, and so on. This is mostly the sheath or the cover of the rope and protection. When you start getting into these gaps, sand particles in there, and the sand particles start getting in here, and you start pulling hard, those sand particles are going to eat through the strength of the rope. Another reason why we use thicker sheath, or you know, more sturdier sheath, is because we're trying to avoid things getting inside. Downside is they are a little bit more rigid and harder to package, so things to consider. That was my little pitch. Oh, like I said, our ropes are made in China. I believe they're the best material you can get. We test them here with Certex. Some of you guys may know who that is. We underrate them a little bit, to be honest with you. So like our shackles, we write 41,000. On average, is big between 44.2 to 45.5. So we're trying to really be safe out there. Our goal is safety. You know, that's what we're trying to achieve here. Last time I was in China was in November in this facility. These guys are very unique. They're doing things for the Chinese Navy, but more importantly, they're doing things for search and rescue out there. They're doing things for the fire department. They're doing things for first responders. And it was actually cool. I mean, I'll send you a video. You can post it. In the facility, they have like a multi-million dollar facility for kids to come visit. And there's like earthquake room where you stand and you feel an earthquake. There's a wind room where you can feel 100 mile an hour winds. They will lower kids from like a second story window so they feel what it feels like to be in a harness and in a screamer suit, basically, and to be lowered down. So they're so focused on search and rescue, and they're so focused on like first responders. That's where the mindset of this company comes from. I have no problem supporting them all day long. Let's keep going. Soft shackles. You will get many options for soft shackles, and this is an issue I see too. First, I get a lot of questions on how to install a soft shackle, and I'm going to install it right now for you. It's very simple. You just open up the loop, you put the knot through, and then when you pull, this loop will hold on the knot. When you pull harder, this loop will dig into the knot. It's not going anywhere. It is smart if you have the ability, if you have multiple people with you, stay far away. When you pre-tension your system, somebody's watching that doesn't pop off. But it shouldn't pop off in reality if you simply just pull like this, or put when your rope is in here, you just pull it a little, that's already enough pretension to hold it. So these are pretty simple to use. The problem is the application. First of all, you shouldn't be using it here. This is 90 degree metal, and this will eventually start cutting through the soft shackle. So don't use it in here unless you really, really know what you're doing. If you have clevis mounts like this that have these 90 degree turns and they're not beveled, they're not like smooth to your finger, you need to get something like this still. If they are smooth to your finger, like I know that Expedition 1 bumpers, they make them smooth. You could just use straight soft charcoal. If they're not smooth to your finger, use metal. This is gonna be smooth. Okay, so you put this on, this is gonna be smooth to your finger, and then you can put your soft charcoal through here. I don't consider this metal in the system. This is still metal on metal. The working loads here, they'll hold, right? You just don't want to end up using these pieces in between two synthetic pieces of gear. That's when things start flying and hurting you. Then you put your soft charcoal on, and you are good to go like that. Pretty simple. On a 4Runner, I think Tacomas have these too. You need to know, this is what I mean by, you need to be very knowledgeable when you start playing with kinetic ropes, especially when you've been put heavy forces on. I don't know why, and I've even seen companies, I'm not going to say who, showing this as a recovery point in their Facebook ads. This is not a recovery point. This is not a recovery point. This is made for when they're shipping it on a container. I don't know what the load rating on this is, but it's definitely not going to be 40, 50,000 pounds, which is really what you want to have. So therefore, be smart. Make sure that your bumper is properly connected to the frame when you start putting heavy loads on. Like I mentioned, I come at this from a different perspective. I'm trying to bring, I love in mountaineering and alpinism and search and rescue, we have a lot of testing, a lot of trust in our gear, a lot of standardization, a lot of certifications.
And I mean, out of everybody I've met over the last 10, 15 years, overlanding, off-roading, you have more skin in the game as far as if you're not climbing a mountain face or an ice wall, depending on rope, you're hanging from a helicopter, searching and rescuing, trying to find somebody, depending on a rope.
Yep.
So this was a natural. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, that's all I wanted to say.
I was hanging on a helicopter, literally going across the river last week.
Doing the death spin?
Trying to avoid the death spin.
Yeah.
So I want to bring some of that into this world. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet. I have some ideas, but that's kind of my next goal with the company. And one of the big things is, you know, standardization. We're starting to create very detailed labels. Some companies already do. I know Factor 55 does, for example. They're very great labels, information. It's hard to put a date of termination on this because there's a lot of factors involved. If you're going to keep this out in the sun, it's going to degrade much faster than if you keep it in a, you know, cool, dry place. We are starting to put date of production on all ropes, so you kind of are able to figure out when it's time to retire them. These are consumable items. That's something to consider. You can get 5 years out of them, possibly even 10 if you know what you're doing, but they're still consumables, things to consider. Anyways, so the first thing we kind of really worked on is this shackle. I did a lot of crazy pulls, and if you actually watch those crazy pulls, this was went all the way through a hitch receiver, came back around and had a rope connected like this, through the entire hitch receiver. And this was sitting on a 90 degree metal, and we were doing a lot of pulls. And then we did certification, we did testing, but more importantly is the field use, right? We did a lot of pulls on this. And we were able to figure out after about a year and a half, because we went through a lot of iterations of it, how to make this work inside your receiver. We can show you metal in a second that's hanging on the wall that we, and we have videos of us putting 36 plus thousand pounds and bending gusseted 3/8 steel that we beat the hell out of. But we still tell you don't go over 20,000 pounds. The truth is, in a hitch receiver, you shouldn't be going above your tow capacity. Another thing to consider, you could buy those big metal pieces that you put in your hitch receiver, and they could be rated for 100,000 pounds. But if your hitch receiver is connected to your cross member and not directly to your frame rails, you're bending that cross member. So you shouldn't be using more weight than what your cross member can handle, and that's very hard to gauge in the field. There's a lot of things out there that you need to know and be comfortable with to really read a system and understand what where the weak links are in a system to be able to gauge it. So another thing that I, for some reason, don't see used a lot is a bridle. What is a bridle? A bridle is basically having two connection points instead of one. I never see that used, and it makes no sense to me. There's very few applications where you don't want to use a bridle. So a bridle is basically taking two soft shackles and figuring out a way to connect them on your rope. It does require a little bit more gear. The easiest way to make a bridle It's just, and I don't know. I get these on Amazon. They're cheap. They're very strong. I never break them. This is 35,000 pound brake strength, and I kind of believe it for an Amazon product. You could just use tree savers. Connect the tree saver here.
And this little trick right here is very helpful to people that have limited slip.
Yes.
So instead of pulling one side and then the tire that's got no grip lights up, this kind of balances it out. That's a great idea.
That's a good point. The other thing is, I was in Colorado once doing one of the Alpine Loop trails, Engineer Pat. No, I forgot which one. Anyways. And we were on my buddy was on a rental Jeep. I had my Toyota. And the thing had like 1,000 miles on it. Brand new Jeep. Everything just died. Nothing was working. Couldn't start the vehicle. I tried to jump the battery. It wasn't a battery. I don't know what it was. It wasn't letting the gear shift to move no matter what. Didn't know it had a secondary battery. Tried to connect the negative and positive to kill the juice, reset the memory, whatever. Couldn't get the Jeep to function at all. I ended up being on the back of that vehicle with a tow strap. My buddy was in the middle in the Jeep, dead vehicle, and another vehicle was pulling us. I was the brakes, the vehicle in front was the gas. And we only had one connection point because we didn't have enough gear to make a bridle at the time. And we're going down those crazy passes with one connection point. I cannot follow the same line as the guys in front of me because I'm not centered. And that made my situation dangerous. The Jeep was a foot and a half away from the ledge. Because I had to follow him and hold that weight, I was like within this far from the ledges all the time in a recovery. It sucked. A bridle would have centered my load a lot better. So all you do is you take a bridle, but here you need three soft shackles. So basically you have two tree savers, two shackles here, one shackle here, and then you connect your rope to a shackle two. And when you pull, you kind of equalize the system. This isn't a true bridle, but this will work. And what this will allow you to do is put pressure on this recovery point and put pressure on this recovery point and get more centered pull. But the pressure is important because if you potentially go 20 miles an hour or whatever speed you want to go in your kinetic recovery, don't recommend it, and you're putting 40,000 pounds of pressure on this one point, you could start shearing bolts. You can damage a soft shackle. You can put a lot of damage here. When you do this system, now you're splitting the weight. So now you only have 20,000 pounds here. That's gold. I mean, I don't know why people aren't doing this. So another thing we've worked on and we've already done, I just don't have it to show you right now, is we created our own bridle. There are a few bridles out there on the market, true bridles. I didn't like any of them. I will tell you why. This is the only one I could show you because we just certified them and I don't have any solid ones left. They're coming in 2 weeks. They'll be up on our site in about a month. This one broke at 59,180 pounds at certification. We're gonna rate them to 57,000 pounds about. But the whole point of this is very simple. I can still show you kind of how it works. You're gonna get big loops like these. It's gonna be 10 feet long. And what you're gonna end up doing is either using a soft shackle or you can go directly with a rope. There's gonna be a sheath on the bridle, so everything will be protected and from friction in essence. And if this was one bridle and the rope was right here, you have one piece here instead of two. Why is one piece important? Because if you're pulling a little bit that way or a little bit that way now, the rope will move on the rope, the system, and it'll equalize. So you will get way more equalization of the recovery points. That's important. Why did we create this? I'm not trying to create what other people, what's already out there. Because every bridle we saw was either rated at like 20 to 30,000 pounds, some were even 17,000 pounds, because they're basically just using winch line. And one company is using a bridle that is made of nylon and has stretch. Ours is made of the same thing your winch line is made of, has no stretch. And I think that a bridle doesn't need stretch. This part of the system, the anchor part of the system, shouldn't have any stretch in it at all. Therefore, we made our own. We made it very strong, 60,000 pounds, because what happens in theory is, and again, this is all like on paper, but if your bridle comes out and you're halving the rope, you can potentially be losing up to 50%. You're not really losing 50, you're probably losing anywhere from 20 to 30, but you have the possibility to lose up to 50% of the strength of the rope when you half it. So 59,000 by half, 30,000 pounds. That's what our ropes are rated for. That's why we went this thick and this big. The other benefit of this bridle is a lot of people need extensions. So if you have a 20-foot rope, kinetic rope, or even a 30-foot kinetic rope, and you need to extend it, well, now you got a 10-foot extension that could definitely handle the load as an extension as well. So multi-use, that's kind of what we've been working on. I believe this really should become more standardized in our recovery systems. There's way more benefits than faults of having a bridle system. And again, this should be on both vehicles. Equalize the load, less strain there. Cool. After watching a YouTube video about a rope going through a windshield, a lot of things ran through my head. And we could talk about the mistakes made there. I am very, very, very pleased, and I'm just grateful for the dude that put that video out there. He's very humble, very honest, very unbiased. And I don't want to reiterate all the mistakes made or all the ones that weren't made. I will say that they were using a rope that wasn't rated for the vehicles. They put this through a hard edge, but we're not sure if that's where the failure occurred. If the soft chopper wouldn't have broken, the Bronco's bolts start to shear. And if that soft chopper wouldn't have broken, then metal could have started flying and killed somebody else. There's always going to be a weak link in a system. What do you want the weak link to be? I don't want a weak link in a system because I know how much force I'm putting in a system. But if you're not sure how much force you're putting in a system, and I get questions all the time, especially after that video, should we make the soft chopper the weak link? For me, I don't think so, but I can't make a decision for you. A lot of you guys know this, know recovery equipment, have a different take on it than me. You may know more things than me, please share. I love to learn. But the idea that we had to kind of address the problem that happened there for the people that feel that they want a soft shackle to either be a weak link in a system or that feel that they don't have trust in their soft shackles for whatever reason is a tether. So we do have a version that I filed the utility patent on, but
patent pending. God dang it.
But a tether is not a difficult application, and I want to hear your guys' ideas. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. I haven't tested this yet because the only vehicle I want to really test this on, it means that I have to put a ton of weight into my rope, have it snap back, and then try to stop that snap back. I'm only willing to do that with the Jeep, so hopefully in 2 weeks we'll get it running and we're going to start doing live testing. But it's very simple. You have your rope connected like this to one recovery point, because you're not using a bridle for some reason. You take paracord or some kind of thin material. I'm guessing we want it to break around 300 to 550 pounds. I'll talk to you about that in a second. I tied a double fisherman into the rope. I have about 10 feet of rope that's going to break at 550 pounds. So that's the simplest way to do it. And what I want to do is, you could do this once around the rope. So just put it all the way through, kind of loop it, and you'll catch the rope over here above the knot. Or if anybody here is a climber, you can basically make a prusik by looping it twice, in essence. That puts friction here. There's going to be friction because it's rope on rope, so this thing isn't moving. Or it shouldn't be moving. There's ways to tie this, but for simplicity, without dealing with knots at all, we'll take any soft shackle you have lying around, and we'll take this tether and put it anywhere. It doesn't have to be on another recovery point. It could be right here on the bull bar, the bumper. It's not taking a 20,000 pound load. This tether is going to break at 550 pounds. So as long as whatever point you're putting it on will hold 550 pounds, you're good to go. So the theory behind this in my head, correct me if I'm wrong, is if for whatever reason I wanted to have my soft shackle be the weak link, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't, or just for safety for failures, if this breaks, or even if the loop breaks, or the line comes out of the loop, which I've seen, I broke test other people's ropes, I'm not going to say who. And I've actually seen it come apart before the rope broke, usually in the middle. If any of that happens, this tether will, and this breaks through, this tether should catch the rope. It's not catching 30,000 pounds. It's just kind of like using a blanket on a winch line. Those things are what, 5 pounds, maybe 8 pounds? and they're catching the same type of force, 20, 30,000 pounds of force sometimes flying. That's all you're really trying to do is catch that force from prevent this rope from being whipped into the car. That's the whole goal. Now, what can happen, and the reason why I want this tether to be weak is because I think this is about the way that I need to catch the rope. But if the driver that's driving fast doesn't notice that there was a malfunction in the system and he drives through the tether, by that time, because there's so much room in the system, the kinetic energy will snap back, it'll be caught, or most of it would have been caught. And then when he drives through this rope and breaks this rope, he doesn't need a lot of force to break it. He's not going to recharge the rope with more kinetic energy because 550 pounds will not recharge the rope with kinetic energy. So that's kind of the safest idea I could think of for now to prevent systems like this. That is very simple. I mean, this is something you can make yourself in 2 minutes, add it to your recovery kit on both sides, and if you don't know how to tie a knot, don't worry about it. Get 2 cheap soft shackles. They don't have to be 50,000 pound rated. They could be 5,000 pound rated because your rope's only 550 pounds, so they can be super cheap Amazon soft shackles that have one goal, is to catch the snapback if it occurs. This is me. This is my mindset and how I think from my dealing with ropes. You know, we created this product for the hitch receiver. And the most used application for this product now is for tow companies to throw around their wheels. So what happens is tow companies, I guess, I didn't even know this, they tow a lot, actually I kind of did, but not as much as I thought, through their wheels. They just throw, they want to wrap a wheel and pull that way. They love this because this can go on sharp wheels without an issue. So our next product we're coming out with very, very shortly, it's going to be something similar to this bridle. It's going to be 8 feet and it's going to have this sheath. So it's specifically for the towing industry where you could have an 8-foot soft shackle that's going to go straight through a wheel or two and you pull that way if you need to. We have other products coming out too. Some of them are patent pending, some of them I really want to discuss right now. But I'm trying really to bring as much synthetic into the industry as possible, as much safety with creative ideas into the industry as possible, without breaking your bank, number one, and without introducing more metal into systems where they don't need to be. So that's pretty much it. I don't know.
Okay, if you enjoyed this video and you understand the gravity of this, way too many people are getting hurt by simply using ropes that they got here, there, and everywhere, and it's going to end up getting the trails closed, and it's leaving people without a family member. We got to stop that. Links will be below. Like, share, and subscribe. I'm out.